Hi, my name is Ben Armstrong.
Hi, this is David Koch.
My name is Thomas Maurer.
Hi, I'm Donna Sarkar.
Hi, my name is Lana Montgomery.
Hi, I'm Seth Warres.
Hi, I'm Aaron Thomas.
I'm Jess Dodson.
Hi, I'm Rocky Heckman.
Hi, I'm Sonia Cuff.
Hi, I'm Troy Hunt.
Hello, this is Wally Mead.
My name is Reid Purvis.
Hi, I'm Lars Finn.
Hi, my name is Alan Birchall.
Hi, I'm Adam Fowler.
Hi, I'm Scott Guthrie, and you're listening to the Need to Know podcast.
All the latest Microsoft Cloud news, as well as industry guest deep dive conversations. It's the Need to Know podcast, all thanks to Rode Microphones. The Need to Know podcast. Catch us on Twitter and Facebook, NGK Podcast, and online at podcasts.needtoknow.cloud.
We're back for another Need to Know podcast. This is episode 183, and I'm joined by Mr. Brenton Johnson, as always. Welcome, Brenton.
Welcome back, Robert. I'm good to be back.
Excellent. So, Brenton successfully navigated his first solo podcast with an interviewee. How did that go for you?
Oh, I think it went okay. I got some good feedback. Taz Gray sent a message saying it was good, but there was quite an audio discrepancy where the interview was quite quiet and the actual Robert and I were quite loud. And that's because we've made a bit of a change on the podcast, haven't we, Robert?
Yep, we've decided that it's time for more Kool-Aid here on the Need to Know podcast, Microsoft Kool-Aid that is. So we're going to do as much of this as we can directly with Skype for Business, because it makes it a lot easier and it gives us more experience using the product. So that's the thinking there. So again, any audio discrepancies are because we're going to do it with Skype for Business. So let us know the feedback. As always, audio might not be as perfect as what it used to be, but hopefully it's adequate.
Yeah, hopefully.
Well, we'll see. I mean, the only way we find out these things is to try them. So, again, that's what we think. I've never had any issues myself. But, again, we'll just have to see how it goes. But so far, I've done a number of guest recordings with, like, Mark O'Shea and Nico and all those sort of people, and the one with our guest this time as well for this episode on Skype for Business, and I haven't really had any issues. So let's see how it goes. Wait for user feedback and whatnot. It makes it much easier to produce if we're all on the same audio track. We don't have to balance it up and wait for those awkward pauses. So with that, why don't we get into some news? Why don't you kick it off this week, Brenton?
Yeah, let's kick it off with the highlight of the week, which is that Microsoft is said to have agreed to acquire coding site GitHub. So if you're predominantly an IT person and not a software development person, you might not be familiar with GitHub and what it's all about. It's essentially how Microsoft builds Windows now. How it's a code repository where they keep the 50 million lines of code that go into making Windows. It's quite an interesting move by Microsoft. I assume this will all get rolled into Azure at some point. For anyone who is involved in software development circles, they live and breathe Git. If you can get on there and just get a handle of the key concepts around forking and merging and how software development has all changed around this concept of GitHub and Git, you will just be blown away with how much sense it makes. And you're like, why didn't we always do it like this? So, yeah, so I think it's an extremely strong move if this is true and Microsoft is going ahead with this. I see this as on par with a LinkedIn purchase.
Yeah, well, it certainly speaks to Microsoft's strengths being the developer. It speaks to who they're trying to target. Obviously, Microsoft being a software company as well helps them to understand the product. The interesting thing is that obviously there's a lot of people there who may be concerned about Microsoft taking ownership of it, but I think that what we've seen from LinkedIn and those sort of acquisitions is pretty much a hands-off approach, but we'll have to wait and see. But I think, like you, I think it's a very positive thing and will continue to improve the brand and be a benefit to all users. So we'll have to wait and see for sure. But again, I think that's a very positive step for both Git and for Microsoft. Now, the other thing, I don't know if you saw, Brenton, but it probably would have, that out here in Australia, thanks to all our new data breach laws, that a company over here now has managed to let leak quite a few records. Did you see the information here about Pager?
Yes. I just saw the link that you put up for me, Robert. The Australia's Equifax, so to speak, It's quite a big concern. I'm on the cybersecurity list for so there's a list that everybody should be signed up for from the government. I'm trying to think the name of it, but essentially it gives you cybersecurity alerts in very user-friendly format, so you should have all your customers signed up to this. And this was one of the things that came out straight away and said, PageUp is used by Woolworths, it's used by, you know, all of the big companies as a HR system. So it's not, we're not just talking about some marketing data that people have chosen to give away. This is quite a big thing. So it'd be something to be across and aware of. It's a good story to tell your customers when they're talking about cybersecurity. And yeah, and what's your take on it, Robert?
Well, I think unfortunately we're going to continue to see it. It's a further indication of the importance that security is going to have and that people need to take it seriously. I think that we face a very sophisticated environment these days, and it's very easy, unfortunately, for data to be accessed when we don't want it to be. There are so many moving parts. So simplicity is what we want, simplified providers, and again, a governance model, which means that we're revisiting and make sure that it is secure. So for example, one of the things I tell people is with Office 365 is that they should be turning off their POP3 and their IMAP access to all their mailboxes, because they're typically not used by users. If they do need them, you can turn them on. So by default, that should be turned off. So reducing the surface of an attack is a big thing now. And again, now that everything's connected on the internet, people can certainly go and try all the locks on the doors to make sure it's secure. So I think it just reinforces the need for businesses, large and small, to take responsibility for the systems they look after for customers and for everybody else, how important it is to make sure that you do take managing your own data and protecting your own information as a priority.
Yeah, and we're talking about financial cost here. They're saying it's going to cost the company $439 million. So it's talking $500 million of liability here, not to mention everything else that goes along with that. So, I think it's always a good story to go back to your customers and say, you know, 60% of businesses don't survive a cyber attack. It's okay if you got a few billion dollars in the bank, and it's fine and you can deal with that, and a whole department to like manage all the fallout from it. But those people are still risk mitigating, because it's much cheaper to mitigate the risk than to experience the breach, that's for sure.
Only $1 billion. Can you spare some change for them, maybe, Britton?
I won't be putting up the money. I don't have it.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. The first for the Need to Know podcast. You all know now. So with that in line, again, we've also seen some improvements to the Microsoft Office 365 Advanced Threat Protection. So I know that's something that you've noted you want to have a quick chat about, Britton. So what's happening there?
Yeah, look, I put up a link here for everybody around the enhanced user experience of Office 365 Threat Protection, not to be confused with Azure Advanced Threat Protection or all the other SKUs that I keep running into when I try and research this particular topic. If you have a look on the link, it will show pictures of what your customers will see. One of the big things was showing the origin link so you can educate customers. So it's safe, it's still safe, but they're making it easier to educate your customers. So it's not, you're not just relying on the technology, you're actually providing a safe place for people to do that. So I thought that was really quite a cool thing to include. What do you think, Robert?
Well, I think, again, one of the things is I would certainly recommend that advanced Office 365 Advanced Threat Protection, which typically sits as a mail hygiene service that will open attachments that are suspect. It will deal with links that may go off to suspect sites, as well as have advanced phishing options for you as a mandatory option. It's something that's included in Microsoft 365 for that reason, I believe. And I think that there is, you know, a lot of benefit to this, because I think the only way really that you can test malicious software these days is to actually open it, and that's what ATP does. It opens in a sandbox in a Microsoft data center, and that will give you that protection. I think the ability to include advanced reporting so that administrators from a back end can actually see what's going on and who's been targeted potentially and what the percentage of malware attachments being sent to users. So I think the reporting's great, and I think, again, this ATP product from Office 365 will continue to improve. And I think that what we're going to see is the advanced threat protection for Azure, Windows 10 Defender, Office 365, all of these products begin to come together in a single dashboard. We're beginning to see that with Office 365 Secure Score already. But I think, again, there are a lot of now advanced threat protection, ATP-style offerings out there. But in essence, I think they're all good and they're all worthwhile. But the Office 365 one, I think, is pretty much mandatory these days.
Yeah. Look, I've got it deployed. And I jumped in there the other day to have a look at the anti-phishing thing, and I didn't really fully understand it. Maybe you're a bit more across it than I am, Robert. But the idea is you put in your CEO, you put in your business owners, who are really high-risk targets, who, you know, phishing scams try and get into, because they say, you know, send $500,000 to China tomorrow, we need it for this order, and people listen to them because they're the executive and they could be compromised. So I think this whole risk-based approach around that follows the user rather than trying to lock down devices, trying to have a technical approach to things. Yes, we got the technology to help us, but Microsoft's really helping businesses like ours really do very, you know, very user-based security, which is just a really good thing for me.
Well, I think what we're seeing is the significant improvement of all the Microsoft security environment. So one of the things I point to now is Windows Defender. So Windows Defender, you get included with Windows 10. Many people used to shrug that off as I suppose, being very not as robust or not as strong as some of the other commercial offerings. I would certainly challenge that these days. I think that today's environment, Windows 10 Defender is probably one of the leading, if not the leading AV. The ability for it to integrate with your Office 365, your identities, with the use in the browser and all that sort of stuff, and give all those signals back to a central location that can be monitored, and then have the cognitive or the machine learning thrown over the top of it, makes all the difference. So the idea with the anti-phishing that you were talking about is that what it does is it provides an extra level of, I suppose, monitoring around specific users in your organization. So it's looking for impersonation attacks. It's looking for situations that are out of normal behavior, and it will then start dealing with those or warning those emails, these look suspicious. So my advice generally to people is signature-based security now really is something that doesn't work anymore. You really have to have behavior-based security, which means you have to be looking at the changes, looking at the differences, and asking intelligent questions. And really the only way you can do that is to comb across lots and lots of data and look for anomalies. And that's something that Microsoft's very, very good at. So again, the ATP advanced threat protection, and I would also point now to Windows Defender on the desktop to being a great solution from Microsoft.
Yeah, well, one of the things I did do this week in my own tenant, Robert, is roll out the message reporting tool, or the message reporting add-on in Outlook. And the reason so the reason I chose to use that instead of my old system where I used to report it to ACMA and the America version of that, is that there's in the dashboard, it actually tells you when users are reporting email. So I want to test this thing out and roll it out and educate customers to put it in there, because, you know, all of a sudden we're starting to see all these pieces of the puzzle come together where they've been kind of isolated projects. They're all getting integrated together. They're all coming into the dashboard, and, you know, okay, well, yeah, if we're reporting it to Microsoft, they're probably at the biggest mail server in the world. You know, they're talking to all these agencies. I don't need to tell them. Microsoft can handle that. They can do the big data intelligence stuff and probably do it better. So if you haven't got that add-on, it's really simple to find. What's it called, Robert?
So basically what it's called is called the Message Header Analyzer. You'll find it in the Microsoft Office Store. You can find the Microsoft Office.
I've got that as well.
Yeah, find the Microsoft Office Store Basically, if you go to your Outlook, there's a big red button in the middle there that says store. So do a search for message header analyzer. That will add it. And then what that allows you to do is to, again, look at the headings around the emails that you don't normally see. So the ratings, the spam filtering, the verdict that it makes about emails, whether they're spam or not. You can look at the advanced SPF records, the DKIM, the DMARC, all that sort of stuff is also available to you. So from an admin's point of view, it's fantastic. And again, at the back end, that will then obviously report into the Office 365 portal. The other one that you're talking about there is called basically Report Message. And again, that's in the Office Store again. And I did write a blog post about that that will put in the link there for people. And basically, you report it as junk, phishing, or not junk. The benefit of doing that, as Brenton says, is that will actually report it to Microsoft as well. So we'll let Microsoft know that you found a phishing email, and that helps everybody else. If you just move it to your junk mail, you're not necessarily helping everybody. So I would suggest that the report message and the message header analyzer are two mandatory add-ons. And the good thing with Office 365, you can add them to the admin portal and push them out to all your users if you want.
Yeah, and I use the heading message analyzer. One of the guys that's going to be on the podcast soon, he said we've been onboarding him on Office 365. I said, look, you know, that's where the security is. And he's come around and said, yep, that's where the security is. So we're onboarding him onto our Office 365. And it's been a bit of a nightmare because he's had single sign-on set up and all this stuff set up over the top of it and identity management, and because he's a real tech head. So he sent me an email and said, check the headers. And I'm like, oh, yes, Office 365. He's got DKIM set up. He's, you know, he's got it all set up. So I was like, I was a little bit excited there, I must admit.
Well, it doesn't take much to get you excited, does it? A four-letter acronym and, whoa, off you go. So let's move it on because we do need to keep moving along here. There's lots of stuff we could spend talking on. But one of the other things that has come up in the last couple of days is some new capabilities around autopilot. So autopilot is now being closely integrated with Intune, which means that when autopilot spins up and starts configuring a machine out of the box, it will look to pick up your Intune policies and apply those before the user actually comes in and connects to your Azure AD. So that'll make sure the machine has those policies applied. And they also showed that you can set up machines that will have policies automatically applied and spun up in like kiosk mode. So that would allow you to run up a machine and maybe just runs a web browser, and it would then configure itself. You could reset or refresh that. It would go through, apply the policies without anybody having to touch it, and reset itself up. So again, have a look at what's new with autopilot. We'll put the link again in the show notes so you can go in and have a look at the video and read that information. What else have you got, Brenton?
Yeah, well, just on that one, Robert, I was having a conversation with a mid-market IT manager. They're about 200 seats and very focused on security. Like this Microsoft 365 just about sold itself, right? So they're already on E3 licenses. You know, for an extra $20, you can have, like they'd probably just buy it for autopilot. They just about fell out of the seats when they heard about that. They thought that was amazing. They thought, what else did we have? We had mobile device management. They were paying for a third-party solution for that. The enterprise Windows and then Intune over the top to manage it all. They couldn't believe it, really.
So, and you also get Azure AD Premium. So that's a real big bonus, I think, of the enterprise versions of Microsoft 365 is you get the full version of Azure AD Premium, which has some really cool security and productivity features in it.
Well, yeah, they're hybrid, so they probably buy it anyway. I haven't done a licensing review, but they probably have to buy it anyway. So, you know, before we know it, we're probably saving them money and delivering a 10 times better solution for them. But, yeah, autopilot, you know, get rid of the old images, move on to this autopilot. It just makes sense for that sort of a customer.
And now also with the Intune integration, you get even more control of it. So that's the way it's going. We certainly encourage people to have a look at it, make sure that they're up to speed and they understand what it can do. It's quite easy. You can use your existing machine, so they don't necessarily need to be new Windows 10 machines. You can certainly repurpose existing ones and still use it with autopilot, so virtual machines will work as well. I've done that, done a number of demos and put that up there and videoed that, so That's also available. One of the other things that I saw that came across here was the ability now to connect an existing SharePoint site to a new Office 365 group. So if you've invested in creating standalone SharePoint sites, you can now connect these to new Office 365 groups. So we're groupifying our existing SharePoint sites. As we know, the world's going Teams, 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 and more Teams, and Teams are built on Office 365 groups. And I think this makes a lot of sense to bring the SharePoint, the standalone SharePoint sites that people may have created beforehand into the arrangement where they are now working with an Office 365 group, where they get all the benefits of the group, the security, the mailbox, the connectors, all that sort of stuff. And the really good thing about that is that it will also modernize them, meaning it will update the pages to the new modern look from the traditional classic look. So that's another benefit of being able to connect these to a new Office 365 group.
Oh, you could just about sell a migration with that feature. You go, oh, we're going to migrate it. We're going to change it all. It's going to look amazing. And you just jump in and do move them all to groups, because that's the way it should be done now. It's pretty clear from Microsoft which direction they want you to go. Wouldn't you say that, Robert?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's the way. And I think we go from a very deep structure, which was very reminiscent of files and folders. So the old traditional way of doing it on-prem was folders within folders within folders within folders mapped to a drive letter, which initially came across to the traditional SharePoint intranet, was a very deep structure with subsites and document libraries and, again, the same sort of structure. Now it's become a very flat structure and connected together. Users don't need to know the actual structure behind it. They just click between links, but it's generally a very flat structure is what works the best and also, again, gives you the most flexibility. Also, speaking of some new stuff, I noticed here that Microsoft Teams, so when you join a meeting with Microsoft Teams now on a mobile app, you can now share your mobile screen. So what
isn't that cool?
That is super cool. So again, if you think about doing support, I mean, how many things now allow you to actually remotely support a mobile device? So this is really super cool. So again, if you join a meeting that is in progress in a Microsoft team from your mobile app, you'll be able to select the option here to go in and share your screen with people. So you can share with them the photos that you've taken, the apps that you're clicking on, all that sort of stuff. So look out for that. You will probably need an update to our desktop client and to the mobile app, so make sure that you update those that software to make sure that you've got the latest. But we'll put the article for this in the show notes, so again, you can review it and have a look at it and get ready for it to sit down and play with it. But it is super cool.
Yeah, and yeah, like you said, trying to find software that does that is very difficult, very, very difficult. So for Microsoft to step forward that far that quickly, it really shows the investment they're making into the Microsoft Teams ecosystem.
Exactly. So another little update we've got is the probably the app that hasn't had the most love of late is the Microsoft To Do app, basically the old sort of Wunderlist idea that they did buy. They're now able to do list sharing. So you can now share your to-do list with others. Not quite sure where the to-do app is sort of going or where it's going to fit in. It's a very simplified personal task manager, I suppose. So still a bit puzzled as to how it fits into the ecosystem. I think it has a place, but it hasn't, its true colors haven't quite shone through yet. So we'll have to wait and see on that. But if you are using Microsoft To Do, you'll now be able to do some list sharing with that app as well.
Yeah, well, I'd say, you know, it's a difficult sell when you've got things like OneNote that has lists in it. You have Planner, where you can do your own personal productivity in Planner.
SharePoint, and Outlook.
You got everything. Yeah, Outlook has its own list thing. So I think it's a very difficult sell for that team to find its market in such a crowded marketplace.
Yeah, but I think, considering it does. I think there's a call for a simplistic to-do list like Wunderlist was. So we'll wait and see. We'll have to wait and see. But it's there. It's connected to Office 365. If you use it, I think it works really well, but it could do with a bit more functionality and connectivity, as you've mentioned. Let me just pop through some Azure stuff here quickly. So there's now standard SSD disks available for Azure VMs. Before, our standard disks have always been HDD or mechanical disks. So this is now a new disk style for our Azure virtual machines that are on the standard tier, not the premium tier. So they've got lower performance and obviously lower costs. So again, an indication that mechanical disks are probably on their way out and you should be looking to move to SSDs. So look out for those that you can connect up to your Azure Virtual Machine. We'll put a link in the show notes. It'll give you more information about standard SSD disks for Azure VMs. We've also got a link here on three reasons why Azure's infrastructure is secure. So if you're worried about your stuff and getting in the cloud and why Azure should be your choice, I think there's some great information there as to why Azure is a secure option for your data and your infrastructure. And the last one I've got here on Azure is that the Storage Explorer, which allows us to look at things like blob storage, VHDs, where they're configured, what they're connected to. There is an app that was updated, I think we mentioned in the last podcast. They've now rolling that same sort of app, the Storage Explorer, into the Azure portal. So you'll be able to use the Storage Explorer in the Azure portal directory using the web interface, which is going to provide some additional functionality there as well, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and anyone who's used CloudBerry's Cloud Explorer, there's a free version, a paid version. I assume it would work very similar to that. It just makes it a lot easier to just jump in and just do things, you know?
Yeah, so, I mean, one of the other things that I'll mention here before we round up and get into our interview is that we were asked a question by a listener about the upcoming events that Microsoft ran. So last year, they ran an event here in Sydney, which was the first one of their tech events around the world. And I think Brenton and I both attended. And we haven't as yet heard any news as to whether that's going to happen again. Have you heard anything?
No, I haven't heard anything. But I think there's certainly an appetite for some sort of aggregation of events. I'm a bit sad. Here's a good event you can go to. So Robert's presenting down in Melbourne next week, whenever this podcast goes out. What day is it, Robert?
It will be Friday the 15th of June.
Yep, so I'll be in the Philippines on the Thursday, which is a shame. Otherwise, I definitely would have been there. It's all going to be around the Microsoft 365, isn't it, Robert?
So the focus is on the security, so securing Office 365, so all the security options, making sure that you secure what you can do, ways to secure Exchange, your mail, your tenant, your users. So a lot of Office 365 out of the box is set for default settings. I would suggest a lot of those probably aren't adequate in our security environment today. So that training session will take you through how to make sure and how to secure your tenant better. I'll also call out that I'm running my first dedicated CIA Ops training event. So that will be held in July in Sydney. Now that is basically around giving people information about moving their SMB business to the Microsoft cloud. So again, I'll put a link to that in the show notes, but that will be held in Sydney on the Thursday the 19th of July. And the idea is it will show you how not only to migrate, but also to price and to come up with an adoption process that you can use to help move your business or move your customers' business to the Microsoft cloud. So typically Microsoft 365, Azure, and all those goodies as well. And the last thing that I'll call to attention is my patron community. So you'll find that at www.ciaopspatron.com. Now, that's a subscription service. You'll get access to things like a private Facebook community. You'll get access to my OneNote codexes. So this is all the notes that I've ever collected on Office 365 and Azure. So for example, it's got all my PowerShell scripts, all the stuff I use to configure it, secure it. So you'll get access to that on a regular basis, plus a whole lot of benefits. So I'll make sure I put those also in the show notes for everybody. And I do encourage people to come to these training events that we run, because at the end of the day, if we don't get the numbers, then we don't generally run them, and that applies for distributors as well. So do support the face-to-face training events, because it is important that if you want the training, they need to be supported.
Yeah, and having been to a shortened version of the SBS to cloud, I must say that Robert has a good way of putting it simply, mapping okay, this is how I used to do it. It's not quite a direct replacement, but here's how you can think about identity in the cloud compared to identity on-prem. So if you have a background in SBS boxes and stuff like that, it's going to be very easy for you to translate that into the cloud. Whereas I think if you go with some of the stuff that I follow, they act like it never existed. They go, oh, you know, what do you mean? What do you mean? They talk like I do, because I don't really have background in any server boxes. I trained in Novell back in the day, and I sort of skipped server and went straight to cloud. So I think that's where Robert's training in particular stands out to me, that it's very, very relevant to the 95% of MSPs out there struggling to go, well, you know, how do we approach this cloud thing? Anyway, we better get on to
why don't we let people know how to get in contact with yourself? So what's the best way for them to reach out to you if they have any questions or comments?
Yeah, brentonjohnson.com. Just Google Brenton Johnson or put it into Bing and I will come up.
Well, that's easy. Yep. You can access me via the Twitters at DirectorCIA. You can, again, follow these podcasts at podcast.needtoknow.cloud. And we accept email the old-fashioned way, feedback at needtoknow.cloud. And in this interview, I managed to secure access to Gabe Long, who is the Senior Product Marketing Manager for Microsoft 365, all the way from sunny Redmond.
Yeah, quite an impressive call.
All right, well, with that, why don't we get into our interview? We thank everybody for listening once again to this episode. And again, let's throw over to our interview. Welcome along. I'm joined by a special guest all the way from Redmond, Gabe Long, who is a Senior Product Marketing Manager in Microsoft 365. Welcome, Gabe.
Thanks for having me, Robert. Appreciate it.
So, as we can tell by Gabe's title, we're going to be focusing again on the Microsoft 365 product. But before we do that, why don't we ask Gabe to give us a bit of a background on himself and how he's come to be where he is in Microsoft?
Oh, that is, I do have a broad background. I guess I'm going to start from the very beginning, right, and not talk about everything Microsoft. But I actually grew up in small business, and I was a system admin. Before I joined Microsoft, I was trained to be a Microsoft Exchange admin in school, and then I was hired onto a role that literally forced me to go learn Unix. So I got to play with Sun Solaris 5 all the way back then, and then I joined Microsoft, to help support Live at EDU and Exchange Labs and Outlook Live. Kind of the precursor to Office 365. I've worked with partners and customers my entire career here at Microsoft, from my roles within support, but then also when I joined our marketing organization, they put me into the small and mid-sized business segment and asked me to focus on SMB partners and how do we talk about that our product set with them and how do we really evangelize, teach them how to sell it? And so I've held a bunch of different roles kind of in marketing. Most recently, I was the launch lead for Microsoft 365 Business. And then, since we launched it, I've been focused on kind of SMB content and readiness and kind of getting out there talking to customers and partners about kind of what we're doing with this whole Microsoft 365 concept and how should we think about it in SMB. So kind of a long-winded answer, but
no, that's good. I think it's again a good indication of the dedication to the SMB style of things and understanding the partner and the customer. That's always a bit of a unique ask these days, and also considering how quickly things are changing. So let's talk about Microsoft 365. Firstly, let's give people in your words, what is Microsoft 365? Now we see Office 365, and now there's a Microsoft 365. I mean, if someone was to ask you in simple terms, or in a way that's easy for a customer to understand, what's Microsoft 365?
Yeah, and I'm definitely not gonna. If you've seen our pitches and everything, I'm not gonna talk in that way. Not for this audience, not for you. For me, Microsoft 365 represents kind of a combination or bringing together of a bunch of different products. And, you know, when I was out there working for a Microsoft partner and deploying small business server, like, that product was really amazing. It was kind of that all-in-one appliance. And so that was where, you know, I was really happy with Microsoft because everything was in one package and it was designed to work together. And, you know, since that time, like, we've had these disparate products where we have our Office suite. And luckily, we've got to bring that together with Exchange Online and the rest of the cloud services, and they've gotten better over time and more integrated. And then we have Windows, and we have the security suites. And packaging those together, and the things that, you know, we've heard from everybody, from our partners, from our customers, is like, why can't you get back to that small business server concept where it's kind of an appliance? It just, like, kind of works. It's all designed to work together. And we've been asked to build this for a long, long time. And so the way that I think about Microsoft 365 is like, it's kind of that all-in-one appliance where you're going to get your productivity, you're going to get your device management, and you're going to get your security. And the great thing that, you know, we've been really focused on is that cross-platform story. Like, how do we protect that data across the different variations of operating systems and platforms? And with, you know, the EMS components coming into Microsoft 365, you know, we can say, hey, look, we're able to protect that Windows 10 operating system, but also we're really able to, like, protect that data regardless of that OS. So for me, it's just that all-in-one appliance. And that's how I kind of think about it.
Okay, so again, we need to let people know that in the Microsoft 365 business environment, there are two major tiers. There is an enterprise tier and a business tier, and we'll focus here on the business side of it, which again is aimed at the SMB style. It's also, like I said, sort of, I suppose, something to do with, like, the links into the SBS concept, as you've mentioned. So in essence, you know, who do you feel is the target market today for the Microsoft 365 business product? You know, who's this really going to resonate? What's sort of the business or the business needs look like?
Yeah, well, and, you know, kind of the addressable market definitely shifted for us on April 30th, right? Because we got a bunch of new value, and we'll talk about that. But before, we were very limited in the ability to manage devices because they had to be joined to Azure AD. And so now since April 30th, we've announced that you get to deploy hybrid AD. So the device can be managed. And this is true for Windows 7 and 8 as well. Just takes a little bit extra steps to implement with your on-prem server. But you can manage from the cloud with Intune as well as on-prem with Group Policy. And so for us, the way that we think about this in terms of who this is best for, this is, we've really unlocked the addressable market. So it can go up to 250, 300 seats, but it is largely dependent on the different things that a customer would need to be able to secure and make sure that their employees are productive in that way. So some of the stuff that we've introduced, like ATP, data loss prevention, all of that type of features and capabilities, we're now able to go out after those larger organizations with Microsoft 365 Business, whereas we weren't able to do that necessarily before. It was really targeted at, you know, less than 50 seats, where somebody wouldn't necessarily need to maintain an on-premise infrastructure.
Yeah, so you mentioned that going forward from the 30th of April, we added all these new features into the product. I think that's made a real game changer for that, and it's really lifted that SKU to being the hero SKU, I think, for the target market. So I think that's been really good. And I think that one of the big things that I certainly saw was that requirement for the hybrid ability. So a lot of people, resellers, still have customers who have on-prem infrastructure that are needing to remove it, but can't do it immediately, so they needed some sort of hybrid solution. So that obviously speaks to that. What are some of the other features in your mind that have really made a difference to the SKU from April 30? The stuff that you've added in, what do you think is really going to resonate or will resonate with resellers and the market?
Yeah, well, I mean, and I'm going to take a U.S. dollar perspective, right, just because I can't translate into different currencies on the fly. But, like, when we looked at business premium, the retail for that is $1,250 U.S. an M365 business is $20 US. And so it's important for us to like make sure that we have the value that represents that $6.50 difference. And so we look to add in and the things that were interesting. We talked with a ton of partners. We actually flew a bunch out from across the globe here to Redmond. They met with all of our engineering teams. We brought the partner team in as well. And, you know, we've heard a number of things that are important. One, data loss prevention. Two, advanced threat protection. And then three, the information protection, Azure information protection. And those are centered around kind of three core things. One, protecting from internal threats, meaning like data leaks and data breaches and whatnot. Two, protecting from external threats. So email and suspicious links, malware coming into the organization. And then three, how do we make sure that organizations are compliant, right? That GDPR regulation that is now in effect in the European Union, that impacts businesses worldwide. Anybody that works with customers in the EU needs to adhere to GDPR. And so those three, along with, you know, we've got the full Microsoft Intune, right? This is $6 US of value included as part of Microsoft 365 Business. We've got unlimited Exchange archiving that is also a part of it. And then that lights up additional capabilities for us to introduce, like litigation hold and e-discovery. Those were two features in Office 365 that were only available in E3. And we're bringing that into Microsoft 365 Business with Exchange archiving. And so we're able to go after regulated industries where customers need to make sure that they have that control over the email and the data that lives within their tenant, which is really exciting for our customers. And we think, like, if you look up, you know, kind of the MSRP for each of these, like, we've really definitely exceeded that $20 of value within Microsoft 365 Business.
Yeah, I think there's no question there. You've certainly added a huge amount of value, and the thing that didn't change was the price. So I think that has made it such a compelling SKU. I think for me, the big add-ins firstly were ATP, so Advanced Threat Protection, that effectively will sandbox your attachments, make sure that they aren't full of malware or whatever, and then take action. So that's been a huge addition. I think that's going to make people begin to consider that, okay, the AV that I'm using may be a third-party option. Will something like ATP fill the game and make it easy for me and make it easy for my clients? As you mentioned, also the Exchange Online Archiving, effectively transforming what was a limited inbox to an unlimited inbox. And again, I think then we've also got, like you mentioned, the DLP. Full Intune makes a huge difference, I think, for the reseller at the back end who's trying to manage the devices and looking to move away from group policy to a cloud-based environment for management. And then I think that the other big one, which a lot of people seem to overlook, to me personally, has been Microsoft Stream. So that's Microsoft's ability, their own, I suppose, YouTube-style video portal that you can upload your videos for training embedded in SharePoint and whatnot. So again, there's probably 10 or so features that have been added, I think, that have really lifted the SKU and really made it, like I said, the hero SKU. And a lot of people now are taking a huge amount of interest in it, looking at to deploy it. Now, just a quick question. If you've added all this value to the business SKU, and again, it's taking a lot of features that were in the E3, where do you see the enterprise E3 equivalent SKU fitting in? Because a lot of these features obviously make the business SKU very compelling and land it very close to the enterprise SKU. What would you say is the one or two reasons that you would still look to go to enterprise, in your opinion?
Yeah, so I would say for enterprise, there's, for like manufacturing organizations or organizations where you have kiosk workers, where they actually, not our first line workers, but literally kiosk workers, where multiple employees are connecting to a virtualized environment to access Office. Office is still running on click to run. You cannot use it in a virtualized environment, so you do need Office 365 or Microsoft 365 or Office 365 Enterprise offerings. in order to access Office there. And then the other side of that is the other big thing is if you start to need those voice capabilities, if voice is important to you, so having the PBX or the calling plans is important to a customer, they're going to need our enterprise offerings there. There's a bunch of other stuff around security that you could add on to business, but then once you get to that price point of $32-$34, then you're going to start to look to jump into Microsoft 365 E3. And it just depends on how much capability functionality you want within your organization around either identity and access management or threat protection, where you want to make sure that there are less holes within your organization. It continues like across our Microsoft 365 offerings, like security is embedded at every layer, but where you want more control or where you need more control, that's where you look to step up within the plans.
Okay, so I think that Microsoft 365 has been in market now for about a year. I think it was announced at the partner conference last year, about June, July timeframe. You've obviously added all these features from the April timeframe, not too far away, but what has been, what is Microsoft seeing as the take-up of the Microsoft 365 business, especially after adding, you know, all these additional features in? What's the field, the gist out there in the market? Is it, you know, being taken up? Is it, again, people recognizing the value and beginning to implement it?
Yeah, so one, I have yet to see numbers yet because we're, I think, less than a month from the announce. But I can tell you that I am hearing from partners across the globe just the excitement and where they're seeing, they're now saying, like, the tone has definitely changed. Like, hey, this is actually something that I can use. This is something that my customers are actually loving. And, like, the feedback is very positive. And we continue to get feedback of, hey, what about this one thing? You know, what about being able to automatically classify data, you know, where they need Azure Information Protection Plan too. And so there's just more questions around different scenarios that are coming out. And so it's more of a education on, oh, okay, you can add this on or you can't add this on, and you would need to step up into the next set of offerings to be able to get that feature and that capability. So we're starting to see more edge cases come out, but the feedback across is just really positive.
Yeah, and I would echo that. I certainly see that once you help people understand what the product now includes, what things like advanced threat protection and information protection can do, it definitely gets them, you know, very, very interested in the product. A lot of people out here in Australia are implementing it. They're beginning to roll it out. There are obviously some learning curves around things like Intune and how that works with the ability to manage machines. So there's lots and lots of positivity. I agree with you that people are seeing this and seeing this as an opportunity, and they're not, you know, saying, oh, if only, if only, if only. So again, I see, you know, like a big future for it. I think, you know, more and more people come on board and see this as, you know, the hero SKU, the SKU that they'll be implementing, especially for SMB. So looking down the track, you know, we've had the product. I know you've only just done a recent set of announcements and improvements to the product, but, you know, sort of looking forward a bit into the future, where do you see, you know, the product going? What would you envision that the product, you know, will add, or what's it going to be targeting next to, you know, solve resellers and customers' needs?
Yeah, I think, well, one, there were some really kind of basic goals for this next, or for this iteration that we just announced, and it was really shoring up kind of that security value and making sure that we had a good, solid GDPR story coming into the May timeframe. And I don't think that we necessarily got everything done. We didn't get everything completed. There is some work to go back and add additional controls and configurability within the Microsoft admin console. I think also with this latest iteration, we definitely wanted to make sure, like, our goals are to, one, make this very simple and it's in a single console, but then we have this this incongruent goal of like making sure that we have a good solid set of features within the product that will secure our customers' businesses. And so Intune, we know, is in a separate portal. And so we've got to go back and we need to make sure that that capability is in the Microsoft admin console and that we've got the right workflows and automation in place so that we can really make sure that this is a simple solution for our small business customers. That's kind of the first big piece. I think the second big piece is looking at those other scenarios, and regulations change all the time and compliance continues to change. I think we're now going to start to look to see how GDPR really lands and seeing what additional things that we need to put in to help our customers. There's a couple of other areas that we never really, marketed around Microsoft 365 Business, which I think are super cool. And I think there are opportunities not around like, hey, let's enhance the product. It's actually, what are the scenarios that we can really make, bring to life for those customers? We got a feature called single sign-on for, the 10 plus apps or whatever. Like there's 2,800 different software as a service providers that Intune and Azure AD are integrated with, and our customers can configure a single sign-on capability from Microsoft 365 over to those other SaaS providers, like lighting up those scenarios so that they can actually reduce the different types of identities and have a single management reduces their overall risk to their organization. And then multi-factor auth, we haven't really talked about that, but like that's super important and really critical to like securing the organization. I get the question a lot, like, hey, is MFA in Microsoft 365 Business? And the answer is yes. We just haven't necessarily lit that up as kind of a hero feature, hero scenario that we want to talk about. And you'll see us kind of really amp that up a lot. I think we're also still just listening, right? From customers, from partners, we are listening. We want to hear. We want to know, what are the things that you're doing? What are the things that you need? Because we do want to make sure that this product specifically is that hero product for small and mid-sized businesses.
Okay, so if we just focus on the reseller for this point, for the next thing here is that, obviously we've talked a lot about security. We've got, good old GDPR coming around as well. Is that the main go-to message you think that resellers can take this product and go to their customers quite easily with? I mean, there are a lot of features in there that they can sell, but there's one thing that you would nail it down that resellers can take to their customers and say, look, this is the reason that we recommend and would suggest you implement Microsoft 365 Business is because of all these additional security features.
Well, yes and no. Like, Robert, I think you and I have talked like in the past, before Microsoft 365 came out, like we were talking about things like Exchange Online and Skype and how do we bring teams together with teamwork and with Microsoft Teams out there, like that narrative continues to be there. I think security in the last year has really been that leading narrative. At least that's what I'm hearing across customers and partners. But we actually are landing that in different ways. One, through mobility, being able to access it from anywhere and being able to make sure that your data is secure anywhere. And then two, it's actually about that productivity and that teamwork. And so the message of Microsoft Teams and that being that hub for getting things done and getting things done with other people is another kind of way that we can go in and talk to our customers about how they can really use Microsoft 365. Because while security is great, it's one of those things that is very scary to a small business. Not just oh my gosh, I'm in fear that I'm going to get hacked, but also like security can be a detractor from implementation because it's intrusive. Like I used to carry around a fob when I worked for a small business. And if I lost that while I was traveling, oh my goodness, I couldn't VPN in, I couldn't get access to my email, all of that. And so the security that we're implementing is actually, it's important to land that, hey, look, it's not gonna take away from your productivity. It's actually gonna enhance your productivity because they're not gonna deal with a lot of these threats or concerns that they are losing out on, you know, ways to get work done.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the two-pronged approach there, the transformational aspects of the Microsoft 365 business product, and again, that leverages a lot of Office 365 services, such as Teams, as you mentioned, and again, we've got things like Stream now thrown in, which I think has a great opportunity for training portals, onboarding, you know, sales meetings, all that sort of stuff gives that ability. So I think that I agree with you that the security side, again, that's very top of mind. It's very important to get that right. And I think that where it provides the value is bringing that under a single, you know, a single vendor, a single provider, which you get generally better integration and reporting and all that sort of stuff. But the real value add, the thing that the customer will look at, I think, as, you know, improving their business or helping them transform or allowing them to do something different is going to be, you know, the tools like Teams, the tools like Sway and that, which, again, we'd certainly encourage resellers to go in and have a look at and use themselves so that when they speak to customers and end users, they're able to show those products and really tell them the value statement that is, you know, behind sort of all those products. All right, so
yeah,
go on.
I think I was just going to add, like, some of the demos that we do on the security side, like, you know, wiping the device, it's really hard to set up the demo, but like to show a customer how security is implemented, like, hey, I'm in Teams and I'm doing a bunch of work and it's great. It's like, okay, I'm showing the productivity. And then it's like, okay, I'm going to wipe that device. And like, they're like, okay, I understand that, but like, why would I ever do that? And so like, those scenarios where it's important and how that comes to life is like, it's critical because the security is not front and center. Like it's there, but the end user doesn't really see it, which I think is kind of nirvana, right? You want to make sure that your stuff is protected, but it's not going to detract from getting work done. So it's very interesting.
No, I agree with you. It's like trying to demo advanced threat protection. You know, you send an attachment, and then you wait for it to come in, and then by the time you double click on it and show them, it's already scanned and gone through. So, again, like you said, I think the security side will probably fade into the background. But I think that at the back end, from a reseller's point of view, it gives them that confidence to know that it's there. They can look at it. They can get reporting. It's all configurable and manageable via PowerShell. I think that's a real big plus. It can all be deployed. It can all be set up with PowerShell, which is going to make life much easier for resellers. And, you know, they can develop standard scripts. So they go in and get a new tenant. They run the script and that does, you know, the lockdown. It sets up a standard environment and makes it, you know, secure out of the box. So being able to do that in a single environment that potentially you can also use on-prem to do scripting, I think is also a huge benefit of the whole ecosystem in general. So lots and lots of positives there. All right.
Yeah, love it.
So as we're getting towards the end of our time here with Gabe, what's the best resource we can point people to, resellers and end users, about the Microsoft 365 product? What's the best place for them to go and learn more about the product and see what it does?
Yeah, so, we're in the middle of content creation and getting a bunch of additional stuff up that we're going to come to Microsoft Inspire in Las Vegas, where we should have a bunch of announcements on, you know, additional tools and resources to help a reseller community and partners across the globe. And where that's all going to land and where we have a bunch of assets today is out on that Microsoft 365 partner portal. And it's actually a really easy URL. It's microsoft365.com/partners. So very easy to visit. And there's a button on there for Microsoft 365 Business. Everything is on that page for everybody to get to.
Excellent. All right. That makes it really easy for everybody to link to. I'll make sure that I put that in the show notes, so make it even easy for people to get to that information. So, Gabe, if people have some further feedback, questions, or want to wave to you on the socials, how do they do that?
I am all up on LinkedIn. So just come find me. I've got a bunch of stuff that I post anyway. Gabe Long, GABELONG. And that's where you can find me.
Excellent. All right. Well, again, I'll make sure those links are in there. And again, I'm sure that you'd welcome any feedback and again, some suggestions around how to keep improving the product. It's great to see that. Like I said, it's made these jumps and these improvements, and it's really resonating with the market. And I think that, like I said, it will become the hero SKU. Just a little bit of investment, I think, from resellers to get up to speed with some of these things they're probably not as familiar with when it comes to things like ATP, advanced threat protection. But once you unlock the power and you see what they can do, it's amazing the solutions that you can craft and the protection that you can provide our customers. Yeah. So, again, thank you very much for obviously giving us this product and spending time to continue to improve it and listen to the market. And again, thank you very much for your time today, Gabe.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And seriously, like, I love the feedback, and it's only the feedback that we get that helps us, you know, kind of influence our go-to-market strategies as well as our product strategy. And like on April 30th, everybody saw that. We heard from our partner community and we adjusted. So, you know, like, I'm serious. Reach out to me on LinkedIn anytime.
Appreciate Excellent. It. All right. Well, thanks, we'll make Robert. Sure that happens. Thank you very much, Gabe. And thanks everyone for listening.
You have been listening to the Need to Know podcast from CIA Ops. For training on using technologies like SharePoint Online or Office 365, visit www.ciaopsacademy.com. By purchasing from the selection available, you'll be directly supporting this podcast. To provide feedback on this episode, visit www.ciaops.com/contact.